Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski. No change with play calling. No change with quarterback. You okay?
Do we have a choice?
Yeah. Yeah.
We do?
Yeah, they could change it.
No,
we have
a choice as fans.
No, well, we certainly don't. I don't. I have no problem with Kevin calling plays. I don't think that's an issue. I think he has shown that he is a good play caller.
I think they just need to tell him it's the first quarter, and it's the first time they get the ball every time they get the ball. We'd score like 49 points a game. He somehow, some way, he is absolutely, he can be dynamic on charting out the first plays of the game.
Whoever is charting those out.
Yeah. But he's consistently been able to do that since he got here.
That is true.
So why can't they do that for the rest of the game?
It does seem that in-game adjustments sometimes are an issue. Is that fair?
Yeah. Post second drive.
Now, let me just say, is that something that someone should focus on completely rather than also being the head coach of the team and being, overseeing the defensive coordinator, even though Jim Schwartz is doing his thing, overseeing special teams, even though Bubba's doing his thing, and overseeing game management? In other words, should you have the offensive coordinator call plays if it's an issue after the first drive of the game?
I think so.
Right now, 13, 15, 16, 17, 18 points. That's what the Browns have scored this year.
The proof is not in the pudding, right? It's not there.
Yeah.
You're not scoring points. You need to get to, in this league, you got to get to 20-21 to even have a chance.
I would think to win a game in this league and give yourself a good chance, that first number at least has to be a 2. Yep, I agree with you.
I mean, unless they're just blind to everything that we're seeing, which I don't think they are. I think they understand the frustrations that we all see. I think they see some of the issues that we all see. Now, is it their job to be patient? Okay. How long before that patience becomes Cincinnati taking over your stadium, Baltimore taking over your stadium? You know, that's what happens at the end of the year. We've seen it too many times. How long before you start talking about what are we drafting? Should they draft a quarterback? Do they need a left tackle? What are they going to do? I don't want to walk down that road on October 9th. I'm not ready yet. Especially with what we thought they were coming back with this roster. The offensive line looks old. The receivers aren't in sync with their quarterback.
You think it looks old? I think it just looks decimated.
It looks old and decimated. Right now it does. I'm sorry. I mean, I like Joel. Ethan's having trouble staying healthy. Jack hasn't been able to get back out on the field. And that's not his fault. I'm not mad.
And the young guys, haven't stepped it up.
No,
Wyatt Teller going out.
DeWatt Jones does not look right at all. Zach Zinter struggled the last 2 weeks. You know, these guys have had the opportunity to go out there and show something, and it hasn't happened. The opposition looks at them like they're steak, and they haven't eaten in like a month. They're able to get right through, and so that doesn't help Deshaun. That doesn't help the whole quarterback situation. Deshaun needs to get rid of the ball faster. I mean, everyone, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. It's just the source of our frustration. And I do believe that if they lose again, what are we playing for? You have to start asking yourself that question. What is this team playing for the rest of the season? And did we not just waste another year of Myles Garrett?
Boy, that sounds harsh.
If they lose this week, it's staring you right in the face.
Well, if they lose this week, I think the narrative changes. You know, you fall to, let's just say, you know, you fall 3 games out in the division, right? And you're 1-5.
Yeah, you're not going anywhere.
And that's true.
You're not. I don't care.
It would be stunning. That would be one of the most stunning comebacks in NFL history.
And also knowing who's on your schedule, like the entire AFC North. Oh, and by the way, Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not fun.
Yeah.
The AFC North twice, by the way. Twice.
Can I make both of you smile?
No,
I'm
in a bad mood
ahead.
Right now. I don't want to smile.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
What do you got, sir?
All right, fine. You just sit and wallow.
I'm going to go in the corner.
All right. Guardians, game 3, lineup versus Detroit. We're ready for this?
All right, go.
All right, so hitting lead off the left fielder, Stephen Kwan.
Can we play like the organ?
Really?
I mean, yeah, it's lineup, yeah. man. Get us pumped like, up. It's the playoffs, baby. Bring your A game.
We like a little pizzazz.
You know, this is what we're all about. We're a production-valued show.
I mean, you talk about pizzazz, you think of Baskin and Phelps.
Yes. Thank you. Come on, boys. Let's go now. Here we go. Here we go. Little chatter.
Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy.
Swing. Better. All right. For your Guardians starting lineup today, the left fielder, Stephen Kwan, will be hitting leadoff.
Here
going
we
up
go,
against
Kwan. Here second. We go, Kwan.
They're going against a right-handed pitcher.
Yep.
The designated hitter, Kyle Manzardo, hitting second today.
Manzardo in the two slot.
Look at that. The rookie getting the call.
Well, he's going lefty-righty. Go ahead.
Getting the call. Hitting third, the third baseman, Jose Ramirez.
Jose.
Yep. Josh Naylor, the first baseman, will be hitting fourth today for the Guardians. Hitting fifth, the center fielder, Lane Thomas.
Right-handed hitter. Okay.
Yep,
in center
yep,
field.
Yep.
Got it.
Andrés Giménez, the second baseman, will be hitting sixth for the Guardians today. Hitting seventh, Will Brennan, the right fielder.
Lefty.
Hitting eighth, Bo Naylor in the squat, throwing down the signs. The catcher today.
Lefty.
And the shortstop, Brian Rocchio, will be hitting ninth. And that, gentleman, is your starting lineup.
So they're starting the game with one right-handed hitter going up against Keydar Montero, the right-handed pitcher for the Tigers. Definitely yes. going lefty-righty on that. Thoughts on Kevin Stefanski? Good lineup, Dana. Well done. That was nice, especially after you added Andy's music.
Yeah, it was really good after
Thoughts
that.
On what you heard from Kevin Stefanski? No change in play calling. Okay? No change at quarterback. It's what we assumed. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on the Fan. Kevin's calling plays.
Yes, he is. Is he? Yeah, he is.
Maybe.
That's what we hear. My buddy Don. Don's a rational guy. Don has like a real job. You know, he's like he's like a businessman. He's really good. Don's a passionate Browns fan.
Okay.
First time I met him, he was wearing this little leather Browns hat. I thought it was cool. Don sends me this.
Like a freshman beanie?
Don sends me this. Stefanski stinks. Based on game he coached, or best game he coached was from his basement during COVID. I fail to see his genius as offensive mind. The team feels like morale is gone. Don't know if that's because of Deshaun or Kevin. At some point, coaches need to make tough decisions.
How is he in the locker room?
Mishearing excitement of fans chanting Flacco last year. Yep, Don went there. Coach obviously has no clue how to resolve. Nice man, lousy coach. Hey, I'm even calm today.
How does he know about the morale? Like, is he inside
Don
scoop?
Also said he's won awards as a businessman after I responded to him.
Oh, congratulations. What kind of award?
Don's a great guy. I love that guy.
But how does Don know about the morale in the locker room?
I'm curious
how he has got that
I told you
scoop.
He's a big-time businessman. He has contacts.
All right, well, if he knows the morale, then all right, I'm down with it. He knows the morale.
You buy any of that? Because that's what a lot of people are thinking right now.
Until you start winning, that's what people are going to think. It is the outside noise. It is 100% the outside noise. Start winning.
Is that valid?
If you win, none of these problems exist.
See, I don't think it's valid.
What part of it?
I think Kevin has a track record here that has shown that he knows how to call plays, can be very creative in A, play calling, B, play design. We've seen it. The only issue I've had with him for the most of his time here is running the football when and when he doesn't. That's the one issue I've had.
I would like
to
see a little. I know Nick Chubb gets a lot of carries, but I would like, if Nick does get back to 100%, I would like to see Nick get carries, in particular maybe on third down every once in a while. I have no problem with that. I think the bigger issue right now, and I think – Daryl said a play was a microcosm of the season. I'm trying to remember what it was. I'll just tell you this. You want a bad look. You want fans to not trust you or trust anybody out on the field. Walk off the field with 20 seconds to go on the play clock when you're deep in the other team's territory. You've got a chance to put 7 on the board, and you have to take a penalty because you don't want to burn your second timeout early in the first half. That is a – you want to talk about morale problems? That is a Browns fan nation, whatever you want to call it. That is a morale killer when your quarterback walks right by you.
And in theory, should the quarterback have just said, "We have one too many guys, get off the field, go"?
Yes, And if we're correct and we determine this, that Kevin still had 5 more seconds to be inside his helmet, he should have looked. I look at a running back, look at a wide receiver, get off the field. I don't know how does the quarterback walk off the field with 20 seconds to go on the play clock, knowing that you have too many men on the field, just kick a guy off the field. Send somebody off. Make sure you leave an offensive lineman and send one of your running backs or send one of the wide receivers out. I just don't – like, kids know that. That play is probably the most frustrating play we've seen since the team came back in 99.
That's pretty annoying.
I can't remember a play like that before. Like, what's going on?
And for whatever this is worth, the optic of Deshaun walking off the field slowly with plenty of time on the play clock and an awkward, I won't call it a confrontation, but an awkward chat with Kevin on the sideline. You're right. That's a terrible look.
That's probably one of the worst looking scenarios I think you could absolutely positively ask for. It's horrible.
Yep, I thought so.
And nobody trusts anybody now, right? You got you've got Deshaun disciples blaming Kevin Stefanski. You've got Kevin's kids? They need a nickname too. I don't know what we call them. I don't know. I got nothing. But it's just that you know people want to defend Stefanski. They want to say this. They want to blame. We're all pointing fingers in different directions. You want all the fingers to point in a single direction? Go get a win. Go get a win and say last week was a fluke. Because if they can beat Philadelphia, it'll be pretty spectacular.
Larry, welcome to the show.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, so we got to stay motivated. Here we go, Browns. Here we go.
Here we go.
Woof, woof. Man, woof, woof. I tell you, fellas, man, we see that they're not scoring points. And Deshaun and the capacity are butting heads because the offensive coordinator, he's trash, dude. We were scoring at least 30 points or more last year, even though, and I would have kept Flacco as a mentor. Man, these guys don't think. You got to process these guys mentally, man.
Deshaun's a veteran. He doesn't need a mentor.
Well, but guess what, man? We still need help. Guess what? Brady goes go on this auto. He's a get on every. He gets sacked. Man, he get on this offensive line. What the hell are y'all doing? Well, I need y'all to block, not the flop. Man, most of all, he got a mess over. That's how you come a champ. You got to go in there, have some intensity, high energy in order to win this game today. And we can still, it's not over. This is the thing. Capacity, you better win Sunday or you're going to get fired. I'm going to tell you the real. Just ain't playing. These owners ain't playing. They give out all this money to everybody, not just the charm. The owners, the coaches, all that, man. They are not serious. They're serious because they want to win, and we deserve it. We got too much talent to be losing. We should be there 4-2. Easy, man. Have a good day. Let's go,
you too.
Brown.
Thank you. Thank
Larry,
you.
I appreciate your passion.
If you had Kapanski on your bingo board, congratulations.
I wrote this down. Block. Block, not flop. Larry, that's not bad. Larry, that's not bad.
Kapanski. We had that one yet?
I don't believe so.
I've had it now.
I like it.
I know a guy named Kapanski.
We were just wondering, Dan and I were sitting around before the show. Does Jeff know any Kapanskis?
I do. So he's got that going for him, which is nice.
My buddy Jimmy.
Oh, Jimmy!
Been Kapanski. A long time. Jimmy, if you're listening, hope all is well.
Hope you're well.
Yeah, now that you're coaching the Browns.
Now that he's coaching the Browns. Folks, they're 1-4. What do you think? And you heard what Kevin said. It sounds like, you know, we've talked about the team needing changes. It sounds like, Andy, changes are going to be made that aren't going to be visible to most all of us. No change in play caller, no change in quarterback. You're going to change some play design? You're going to do something different? Folks, what are you going to do? 216-474-0092. One more loss, and this goes to hypercritical. And then we can start talking draft.
With the first pick. Oh.
Oh, there it is.
Sorry.
There it was.
Stop it.
He was. I didn't even have to tee him up. He was ready to go.
Stop
I just
it.
Snuck it in before he got it.
The Cleveland Browns are on the clock.
Stop it.
Perhaps the quarterback coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. At least that's what we're thinking right here on Baskin and Phelps. So get ready for that, folks. That would mean Deshaun Watson.
It's Baskin and Menigan.
But before we get back into the Browns, can I give you something from New York?
Sure.
Aaron Rodgers, Robert Saleh let go yesterday.
Yeah.
We all have thought, everybody's thought, you know, everybody looks at the Robert Saleh, Aaron Rodgers relationship.
Yep.
There was the one where he came off the field and Saleh kind of hugged him and Rodgers kind of gave him,
don't get
push.
In his personal space.
Yeah, it was you're crowding me, son.
Get
out of the way.
Yeah.
Aaron had his little chat today with the media.
Oh, how'd that go?
As far as any of the ridiculous allegations out there, I'm not going to spend more than one sentence in response to it, and that is I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false. It's interesting the amount of power people think I have, which I don't, but I love Robert.
He was on Pat McAfee show when he said that.
Okay.
Oh, well, where he was getting paid for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Wow, Jeff. Drop the mic on that line. Very nice. So did they hug it out when it was all said and done, or what? Bro hug?
With Robert? I don't know. I don't think Robert could be found because security escorted him out of the building.
Well, I'm sure he's got his number, right? Unless they took the cell phone. I mean, does anyone still have a company cell phone?
Not me.
No. You? Dan?
Oh, gosh, no.
Okay, just making sure. Yeah, that's not a good situation.
I love Coach Saleh. We have a very solid relationship. We have since I met him in 2021 and had a nice conversation when they came and visited us for joint practices back in the day.
Mm.
He was a big reason I came to the Jets. Do I think Aaron Rodgers got him fired? You're dang right I don't.
Oh. Well, you
teamed me up. I don't.
Yeah, I don't.
Did Nathaniel Hackett? Yeah, that might have been the case. Uh-huh. Did you see the reports that apparently Saleh was planning to take play calling duties away from Nathaniel Hackett later on in the day?
Ah.
But didn't have the chance because he got canned.
Ah. And the owner didn't like that?
I haven't seen any specifics on that. Like, did the owner catch wind of that? Did Aaron catch wind of that and call the owner? I don't know. I just found it interesting that after Saleh got let go, reports came out that he was planning to make a change later that day.
Would we be
with the offensive coordinator?
Would we be concerned about the play calling if the Browns were 2-3?
Yeah, we'd still be concerned.
Okay, yeah. I guess it depends. Maybe in one of those
at 1-4, we're a little more concerned.
In the other mythical win, maybe they would have had more than 20 points.
I'll tell you what, the NFL is just—I mean, it's. Take the WWE storylines
And make them real?
And make them real. Mm. And that's the NFL.
Mm.
Brian is in Shaker Heights.
Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Andy, Brian, the bagel guy here. I got to drop off some bagels for you guys at some point.
But we're all in. We are all in.
Here you guys are in. So we're exasperated when Deshaun walks off the field. But what was happening last week that none of us saw? He was literally trying to save himself $92 million. He was settling a suit. That's where his brain is. No one's seen this type of body language. No one's seen these types of plays. He's mentally checked out. And if there's three or four more skeletons in the closet, guys, he's never going to mentally check in. Look at Myles Garrett at the end of that game, that body language. He cannot believe where he is, and it permeates the locker room. That's, I don't know how we overcome this challenge other than just cut this darn cord, because the national broadcast, listen to them. They can't believe how bad this player is, and that's because he's mentally can't get there. So thanks, fellas. Bagels are coming.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
Nice to see you, Brian. It's an interesting thing if you just listen to the national guys, and their points are certainly theirs to make, and I think they're right on when it comes to a football
There's
standpoint.
Plenty of, I mean...
But, Andy, we're sitting here every day. We know what's going on as far as commitment from the organization. They do, too, and they're many of the national guys, and they're just saying, well, you can't play them. Yeah, football standpoint, I'd love to see a change at quarterback. I would. And I say that because I haven't hidden the fact that I think Jameis is a pretty good quarterback.
The only way.
But it's not going to happen.
Yes.
That's the thing I think everybody needs to understand. There will not be a change at quarterback because of play on the field. The coaching staff has been handed this quarterback by their own input, by Andrew Berry, maybe by Paul DePodesta, certainly by the Haslams because they had to sign off on it.
Sure.
And the coaching staff has been tasked with the task of making it work.
Yeah.
And that's what has to happen here. And if by chance they ever decide to change quarterbacks, sorry, the reality of life in the NFL, Andy, in this situation is that's going to have to come from way up the food chain. It's not Kevin's call.
There are only two ways they're going to change quarterbacks. One,
injury.
I don't wish on anybody injury.
Exactly.
And two, in case the league decides
we're getting involved.
Yeah, we still want our investigation in that last allegation.
Or heaven forbid future stuff happening allegation-wise.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be the only other way. So how about let's fix it? That's what I say.
Well, there you go.
All right. Can I play this word salad for you one more time, and the two of you put it in the media translator and tell me what in the world is being said here?
All right.
Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. Help me out, because
I'm going to write down keywords.
This is befuddling. Here you go.
All right. I think there are two things that really stand out. He's comfortable with the amount of collaboration they have on the headsets. To me, that means, you tell me if I'm wrong, and I'm just interpreting. I've never been on headsets during an NFL game.
Right.
Amount of collaboration means he's getting input. He's getting input from Ken Dorsey, as he should. Might be getting input from offensive coaches up in the booth, which they should. Get input from players, which you should. But the guy who's calling the plays is the guy who has the final word on what play they call.
And he could also say, we're going here, we're doing this. Okay. He doesn't need to hear a word.
He could say, I don't want to hear anything. You're right.
Yeah.
I'm tired of collaboration. I've got a play sheet. Let's go.
And if there's no collaboration and you're the guy that makes the call, then that's the appropriate amount of collaboration that you need. Is that word salad enough for you?
Maybe. You know, maybe he's getting too much put into his headset during the game. I doubt that.
I don't think so.
He can go through that. He did say collective effort, which I think is interesting. Deshaun Watson is the Browns quarterback. We expect him to speak here on the 1 o'clock hour. If and when he does, you'll hear it right here on The Fan.